Please welcome Margaret Lang.
Thank you. The bagpiper was scheduled. The piano player and the singer and the hall and the caterer were scheduled. And the funeral mass was set. And I was looking at having to cancel the whole thing. All because my mother had decided she didn't want to be buried in California. My mother was born in New York, in the Bronx, in this very big, gregarious Irish Catholic family. She lived in New York till she was 22, till finally her mother said to her, "You're going to be on the shelf if you don't get a husband." So she sent my mother to New York, to Illinois, to be with my mother's father's family. My grandmother told her, "Don't come back unless you have a husband." 2 years later, she came back with a husband and a baby, my older sister. They lived there a while, long enough to have me, and then migrated out to California. In 1959, I was less than a year old. I'm pausing for you to do the math. And my mother told me years later, she said, "I never thought we were going to stay in California. It was just an adventure." And she said, like, 20 years later, we're still here. It's like, how did that happen? And I never knew her full disdain for California until sometime after 2001, after my father had passed, and she became very opinionated. We found out opinions that we never knew she had. They flowed very freely from her. And one of which was that the level of hatred of California, she told me one day, she says, "It's poison out here. It's just poison. And we never should have left New York. It's poison." I said, "Ma, I don't understand. I get that you like New York, but how is it poison? I mean, you've lived here almost 50 years. You had two sons here. You went and you got your education and you worked 30 years at the hospital. You've had a good life. How is this poison?" "It just is. It just is. It's not New York. California is poison." So about 3 months before she passed, I found out again there was a new level of hatred of California when she told me, "Whatever you do, don't bury me in California." I said, "Okay, well, I don't understand this, Mom. I mean, you have a cemetery plot. You bought that like years ago. Dad's there waiting for you. It's all set. You know, your side of the stone already for all the things we're going to say about you, nice things. And your husband's there. Don't you want to be buried next to your husband?" And she said, "He won't know the difference." She said, "Whatever you do, don't bury me in California." I said, "Well, what do you want?" She said, "I want to be cremated, and I want you to spread my ashes at sea, because eventually I'll make it back to New York." She was a very logical woman, you know? And so I didn't like the idea of it, but I thought, well, it's her thing. That's what will happen. And she was very serious about it, serious enough to tell everybody in the family, her sisters and her brother and all my cousins, and everyone knew that's what was going to happen. So, June 18th, 2008, she passed away, and we planned the funeral, and I booked the bagpiper because she loved bagpipers, and my piano teacher was going to play. Everything was set. Day before the funeral, we went into the Catholic Church to talk to the priest to plan the Mass. And he said, "Okay, so your mother's ashes will be brought to the church." "Yes." "Afterwards, we'll go to the cemetery. And then her ashes will be buried and we'll do the final prayers." And I said, "No, she doesn't want to be buried. She wants to be spread at sea." And the priest said to me, "Oh, well, we don't do that." And I said, "Oh, okay." Didn't think much more of it until the next day. I got, actually this was the day before the funeral, I got a call from the rectory that said, well, the priest wants you to promise him that your mother's ashes will be buried and not spread at sea, or he won't do the mass. And I thought, oh no, now what am I going to do here? This huge conundrum, do I honor my mother's, you know, the big dying wishes, or honor who she had been all her life, which was Catholic. She was born, raised Catholic, comes from centuries of Catholics. It's who she was. She never let go of her Virgin Mary, you know, her rosaries. And I said, well, what am I going to do here? And the other part of it was that toward the end of her life, she was frankly a little loopy. She got a little loopy. She was, there was the morphine factor, and then there was the lack of oxygen factor. And you put those two together, and you never knew what was going to come out of her mouth. And so I kind of chalked a lot of this up to the morphine factor. So I decided we're going to go ahead and do the mass, because really that's who she was. I'm going to honor that part of her, the most of her life, you know, part of her. And then the relatives started calling. And some of them were very angry with me, and you've got to honor her dying wish. And one of them told me, well, look, just tell the priest whatever he wants to hear, and then you get the ashes after the funeral. As soon as you get the ashes, you can do whatever you want with them. And I'm thinking, are you crazy? It's like, I'm not going to lie to a priest, you know? This is not what I'm going to do here. So I stood firm, and we had one of the best funerals I think Santa Maria has ever seen. We had the bagpiper on the steps of the church as people came in, and it was absolutely gorgeous. A few days later, we went out to the cemetery, and my mother's ashes were placed on top of my father's casket, and the priest was there, and he said the final Catholic prayers, and I felt that she had come home. It wasn't to New York, but it was to the husband that she had to get. But I think she was glad about it for 50 years. The, you know, bore his children, lived a good life. This was her home. It was maybe not the home totally of her heart, but I brought her back to her home. And it felt right, even if it was in the poison ground of California.